Olha de rei, olha de leão. Olha de retretete, olha de leão. Let's stop everybody together. Olha de, olha de, olha de leão. Put your hands together for Caroline Casey.
Well, so we start with Muti as we have so often. Muti means power and medicine from the Sangomas of South Africa. We don't source power, we invite it. There we go. And that's what we're here to do tonight, because we are here to invite in the powerful, miraculous luck that we need. So I have my great friend and ancestor, Stella Coyote's coyote hair, still here, apparently an infinite supply, with tobacco and some cannabis. All right, and we go, oh, spirit of the compassionate trickster residing within each one of our hearts, open the path before each one of us that we may be danced into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, and contribute our gifts to the community in a manner of reciprocal blessing. So I have this wonderful witch's hat, and it's a witch's hat I learned because the women who brewed medicinal ale and liquor wore these hats. And the men grew jealous and said, they must be witches, we will take their money. So that's why it's the witch's hat. But we are here, Friday the 13th, irresistible. You know, and there are many stories about it, but the oldest, truest one is that Friday, sacred to Oshun and to Venus, you know, we only have a 7-day calendar because of 7 visible planets. Friday is Freya's day, 13 lunar months of the year. So when Friday and 13 coincided, you were supposed to make love all day.
Ah, yes.
Or at least make art all day. So the Christian monks said, this is unlucky for us. Maybe. We will make it unlucky. So we're here to honor true Friday the 13th, and what a great time to call off the Inquisition. So it is Friday the 13th in a waxing lunar eclipse in Scorpio, yes. Sunday night, it's the Buddha's full moon. When the sun is in Taurus, incarnational sensuality, and the moon in Scorpio, the invisible power needed. It's when the Buddha was born, and apparently when he attains enlightenment with his back pressed against the Bodhi tree, because no one gets enlightened on this planet without trees. So there we go. So, it's an irresistible combination. We go, so clearly, cooperators are standing by.
Yes.
And we know we are gathering at a time of great danger, right? To avail ourselves of all of our participatory skills. The more myths, the more language, the more words, the more ways we have to participate.
Yes.
So I love Gary Snyder's saying, I hold the most archaic values on Earth. They go back to the late Paleolithic, the fertility of the soil, the magic of animals, the power vision in solitude, the terrifying initiation and rebirth, the love and ecstasy of the dance, and the common work of the tribe. Go. Wonderful. So always true, but never more true. So into the eclipse. Eclipses, everything real, everything symbolic. So the blood red moon will cover America this Sunday night. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And it behooves us to animate it desirably, lest we leave it by default to the Dementors of Doom, bless their little cuckoo hearts. So into the eclipse. You know, we know that a lunar eclipse is a very precise full moon. It's when the sun projects the Earth's shadow onto the moon, so we see shadow, and it turns red. Whoa, we'll see it full in California. You know, but it's always been available, you know, what do we want to be eclipsed by what? And what emerges? And for those of you who've been lucky enough to see a total lunar eclipse, which we will get here, You know, the moon, when it emerges, really looks freshly cleaned and like, now I'm ready, right? So much to play with and work with there. Friends of mine were visiting a household in Brazil where the lady of the house was really uptight. And so the servants put scissors under her bed to cut the tension.
Ah,
and we go, superstition or participatory symbolism? Right, we go, participatory symbolism, that's good. And so at this time, we say, are we sufficiently humbled as a rogue species? Yes, to realize that we cannot possibly solve the innumerable cruelties we've imposed on our kin by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. It's a synchronous time. The synchronous magic is here in the atmosphere. And I love it when books fall off the shelf because everything's alive, and a journal that I hadn't looked at in years fell off the shelf before I was leaving. And it's quotes from Philip K. Dick that I copied out. And he says, we want exalted, not upward, but downward, animal, more tuned into actual matter, at home in the world. I accepted all I saw and I enjoyed it and I did not judge. And since I did not judge, there was nothing to reject. Mm. And then he says, my incompetence. We take every befoiblement as an incentive to experiment to create more beauty. So Philip says, my incompetence had called these invisible friends forth. Had I been more gifted, I would not know of them. It was in my mind a good trade. Because of my limitations, an entire new universe had revealed itself to me, a benign and living hyper-environment endowed with absolute wisdom. Wow, I said to myself, you can't beat that. So all of our befoiblements, and then he called the all Valus, vast, active, living, intelligent system. And we go, that's great. So we all have our memories that we carry with us, little in our magic backpacks, treasured things. And so this one sprang to life and said, I want to come along here. So years ago, there was a water conference in Washington, D.C. at the Swedish Embassy, sponsored by many, Bill Hazeltine, big biotech guy. And I'd been invited as a guest. And the night before, I looked at the program and it said, Caroline Casey will be leading a water blessing ceremony during lunch. I'm like, whoa, these are scientists. I will? Who? What to do? But synchronicity, so as I stepped forward, and they're all eating their smoked salmon lunch and very busy, but somebody gave me yellow roses, right? And yellow roses are sacred to Oshun, the intelligence of sweet water and the river. And so I go, all right, it's coming together. There's larger things than ourselves. And I go, So I just tap the glass, everybody's busy, and I go, in everyone's heart lives the story of the restoration of the waters of life. And they all put down their forks. They wanted this mythology spoken to in themselves. Whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. So then I told them everything I knew in 5 minutes. And I handed out the yellow roses. These were grown-ups. These were Homeland Security, Coast Guard, world's leading water engineers reporting on the problems of water, which are enormous even then. They were like, if the Ganges stops flowing, things that are still on our table. And so I handed out the yellow roses, and I invited us all to go down to the banks of the Potomac River, which was right there, and to throw the yellow roses into the river as a symbol of our apology and our willingness to work with water to solve the crisis we've imposed on water. And all these grown-ups and scientists did. They did. And that night at the party, it was all these scientists, and the Indian engineer says, I am Indian engineer, I am strict science guy, but you gave me permission to be more, to be everything. And then America's leading cold fusion physicist came up and said, all physicists are mystics. And then everybody at the party wanted to be a mystic. Right? So then the next day, there was a man who had invented a machine that ran on one tablespoon of gasoline and the rest on water. And there was press and a lot of pressure, and it wasn't working, right, that tension. And I did not say Mercury retrograde, as it is now. And the cold fusion physicist guy steps forward and says, I think it needs more pressure. And he leaned on it, nothing. And I just sensed the moment. What we're here, as we deepen our dedications, it magnetizes opportunity. So I just stepped forward, and I put one hand on the inventor, and one hand on the machine, and I asked the inventor, "Do you vow that this technology will never be used for war?" And he said, "I do," and the engine sprang to life. Va-va-boom! And all the scientists were so happy that it wasn't just them, or it wasn't just us. It's more. So, animism. Animism. We say animism is not a belief, it's just good manners. Right? As though everything's alive. Everything's alive.
Yes.
You know, and we are humbled enough. Oh. So let's go deep, deep, deep. We are here to, again, in the spirit of Muti, to honor the enormous tasks and danger before us, but then to call in what can help us. So we want to go deep first to grieve, to the ancestors in a moment. You know, and I love one of my collaborators, Sean Patrick O'Donnie, who says, let's see the long ago dead emerging to welcome the recently dead, to guide them to the Milky Way. I go, ah. Oh. And so as we honor the dead, and Ami will guide us to do that, think of all the people who have died. I know so many people who have died. It's not just because I'm as old as Buddha now, but it's also just people going, so many great people. Michael Gosney in this community, so important. Many people, we all know people who have died, undoubtedly, and there's so much death in the world. But to think also of all the people who have died who are mentors, mentors. I never tire of saying my wonderful friend Deborah Felmuth, who lives in Syria and Vermont, but she said, in the West, we think of the future in front of us and the past in back of us. Who cares? She said, in the Middle East, it's the reverse. We're gazing at the past in front of us. It's fun to do that perspective. And the future is invisible. We are crafting the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. Mm. Ancestor song. Mm-hmm.
And if you all could just kind of put your hands on your heart and think about all of the ones who've come before you. They could be part of your family lineage. They could be people that have inspired you, like Frida Kahlo, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, whoever, Bob Marley. And call out their names as I sing this song. Ahumba Waori, Ahumba Waori, Awaosun, Awaoma, Lerioma, Lerio, Bopo Egun, Kawe, Yamile, Odo. Yamile odo bopa ashe isengi sarama hoe yamile odo aho ashe amen. So Caroline, so that song Yami, the words literally mean witch in Lukumi Yoruba, Yami, but Iyami also means my mother. So anytime you say my mother, you're also saying witch.
Hey, oh. Now!
And then to all of our mothers and also, you know, women in political life, nothing more dangerous than a witch that doesn't know she's a witch.
Yeah.
And, you know, may everyone remember that, because we're here to, you know, as we call off the Inquisition, you know, it's like Ali Ali and come free. Time to declare oneself as a scientific animist, you know, as a intellectual pragmatic mystic, as a whatever the thing is, you know, it's Ali Ali and come free. I love asking self and others, who are your mentors? And I hosted Akaya Windwood and Bill McKibben some weeks back, and I said, who are your mentors? And Akaya said, this important redwood tree, and Bill McKibben said, well, I'm not a tree hugger, because I hate that phrase, you know, and I don't usually say this to people, but actually, it's a pine tree, and I talk to it every day, and I pat it, and I go, you're safe here, Bill, you can come out as a whatever, you love that tree. And So everybody's safe. Harvard's not watching. To come out as oneself, you know. And Stella Coyote, whose hair we just honored, and an actual coyote I lived with for 19 years, 2 months, 2 weeks. But she taught me a great deal about grief. When her best friend in the world, her wolf dog friend, was dying, she was like, I love you more than life itself, and you're dying, so I'm going to steal your bone. But when he died, she grieved, but her grieving increased her appetite for life. And I want to just bestow Stella's teaching in this way. It was very clear. She taught me the difference between sentimentality and grief. And her grief was strong, but she's like, I'm going to live. I'm going to live as part of my grieving. And I remembered that and loved it, and it stood me in good stead. So here we are, just a little bit of context. So, yes, the East is here. And so we have the moon in Libra rising in the east on its way to waxing. Whoa, the only visible planet in the sky behind us. You know, but doing many beautiful things. She is in Libra. Words are magic. The word deliberate comes from Libra. It comes from two verbs, librare, to liberate, and libare, to balance. So to be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. Again, words are magic, words are magic. So the moon forms what's called a yod, or a finger of destiny, to the sun in Taurus. Moon Libra, that's the Venusian cultural realm. Taurus is the animistic sensual realm. So it says to all of us here who are willing to be messengers and agents from what we love in the natural world into the cultural world. Mm. You know, and then it forms on the other side, 150-degree angle to Jupiter and Neptune. Neptune in Pisces, Jupiter and Neptune came together for the first time in 165 years. The two intelligences, the hosts of Pisces. And they say, all right, you humans, we're making everything that has ever moved humans to collaborative goodness available for fresh expression. And just a few days ago, Jupiter, principle of storytelling, curiosity, and blessing, entered Aries. It's like, let's go. Let's take all we know into action. Let's go, let's go. You know, and then there's a beautiful 60-degree angle between them. Part of what, you know, our skills, we've gathered here at this dangerous time to avail ourselves of all of our skills. And this wonderful language of astrology, disguised as whatever we think it is, you know, is one to quicken all of our cooperative skills. You know, so Neptune dream, as even Reverend Ike says, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down, right? Neptune says, solve a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Dissolution is the secret of the great work. We go, well, we'd like to dissolve the Inquisition into the lunar eclipse cauldron. So we'd like to dissolve lies and cruelty. You know, again, cooperators standing by so we can do that. So that's a beautiful, powerful thing. And then there's all kinds of ways to interpret Jupiter, Neptune, and Pisces, like woo-hoo. And I do love, Wanda Sykes did this fun thing. She's doing a skit in which she's talking to her girlfriend on the phone, and she's going, and her girlfriend says, Wanda, are you listening to me? And Wanda says, I'm a bit distracted because I think I left my phone in the restaurant. And her friend says, okay, well, call me back when you find it. Anyway, so it's a little bit like that. It's available space out for all of us. But again, space out, reverie, wonder. Wonder attracts revelation that we'll play with. So metaphors and music. We say metaphors are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. And part of the blessings that we're here to receive is it's like the backstage gods say, you provide the metaphor, we'll provide the matter. Again, incarnational. We want to collaborate with everything. So that, you know, so we want to go even deeper, deeper still. Ami and I did a very fun equinox online with wonderful Dave Gallo, one of the world's great deep, deep, deep ocean scientists, who's also happy to be a mystic now, absolutely, more and more. But he says, you know, in the depths of the ocean, There are marvels and mysteries, and yes, humans have messed it up, but there are waterfalls and rivers and everything down there. And he said, and never forget that at the bottom of the sea, there are these vents, you know, blowing new life into the world. You know, so the deep, deep sea. So we want to go deep, deep down, and Ami will help guide us there.
Whoa, whoa. Yale. Olokun is the keeper of the deepest part of the ocean. And so Yemaya holds most of the ocean, but the bottom is Olokun. And so whenever you want to call up riches and deep memories and honor things seen and unseen, you call on Olokun. So anytime you have like a basket and you want to call money to you, you put riches in the basket and you cover it up with a nice dark deep blue indigo covering and you ask Olokun to bring you all of the blessings and abundance from the bottom of the depths of the ocean.
And we've dove deep down, and who's coming back up with us but Trickster, nature's evolutionary genius against all odds. Uranus, Trickster ingenuity is in Taurus, the realm of participatory animism. We have four more years, really, to in this one story to go to make our deals, to wheel and deal backstage. You know, we know that so much is coming at us, and I always carry with me is when I first began living with Stella Coyote, hosted Lakota Elder on radio, and he said, nothing smarter. You know, we Lakota did not hunt alone. Those gifted could go backstage into a reverie. This is available for all of us to remember and experiment with. Believe nothing, entertain possibilities. Mm-hmm. So he said people would go backstage into a reverie or a trance, and they would broker a working relationship with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, and if you want to destroy the earth, mm-hmm. convince people this doesn't exist. So again, without hubris or presumption, you know, to be able to go backstage on behalf of what we love and go, oh, fire, we are so sorry. Can we work out a deal? If we honor fire more, can we have fewer raging fires? Oh, water, we are so sorry. We have treated you with great disrespect. Can we work out something? But having lived with Stella Coyote, it means you really got to put stuff on the table. We know, you know, it's like Dion Fortune working, hired by the British government in World War II to engage all the ritualists of Britain to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion, which they did. It's a whole fascinating thing. I've been kind of excavating and reworking because it's like that now. But she said people were always asking her, when will the war end? And she said, can't tell you when. We'll tell you how. It will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. When will the pandemic end? It will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. Mm. And the conditions that gave rise to it are humans despoiling the earth. Mm. We know viral storms, right? And we know that this particular virus is so ingenious, right? It's so mutating in an hour. We go, it's time for a conversation with everything, to spiral with everything in some way, not everything as an opponent, everything as a dance partner. Magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. And we go, oh, virus, you are so good at changing. We need to do that. Can we work something out? And the virus says, what are you putting on the table? Mm. You know, where's your dedication? But so I go, so at this time, you know, of great bleakness, but where do we see Trickster? Where do we see Trickster? Did anybody here see the Kentucky Derby? Does anybody here be so violently opposed to the cruel sport of horse racing that they can't stand to hear something good about it? Okay, close your ears for 2 minutes. So, everywhere. You know, so I don't watch the Kentucky Derby, but somebody sent me the clip of it, and I highly recommend it, except for people who are vehemently opposed to the cruel sport, which we understand. But in the Kentucky Derby, there was a horse named Rich Strike that was not in the race, and then a day before, somebody drops out. So it's put in number 21 spot. 21 is judgment card in the tarot, furthest away from the rail. The odds are 80 to 1. And it's the longest shot, you know, and the announcer is very, he's just looking at, you know, I forgot what the two horses, Epicenter and what he was going on there. And then he's like, oh my God. And you see the horse and the jockey, you know, and then weaving through the horses. And then there's a kind of magic because then the path opens. And comes from the end, and it's like wins, and the announcer goes, he loses his mind. He goes, oh my goodness, you know, unbelievable upset against all odds, and the crawl line was against all odds, you know, it was on the wait list, you know, and the jockey is against a Venezuelan guy. Neither horse nor jockey had been in a big race before, and the jockey Sonny Leon from Venezuela says, I waited for the stretch, I was patient, and then the rail opened up. We go, oh, that's really good. So I did the horse's chart. and I go, all right, Trickster's at work here. This horse was born April 25th, 2019. Sun in Taurus next to Uranus, Trickster in Taurus. I go, oh, that's great. So the mythological, for a moment at least, transcends our appropriate opinion about horse racing. And then I go, ooh, horse and jockey, because the jockey was so kin working with this horse, and it's like I taught him how to weave through horses, you know. And I go, ooh, it's like a centaur. It's like a centaur. Everything corrupt, we go, what did this want to be? But the horse-man union is an ancient thing. Maybe, again, it could be better. But I go, the centaur. I bet Chiron, little planetoid, mythological centaur. I bet Chiron is in this horse's chart. And we go, oh my God, it is. There are two quintiles to Chiron. And it's like, oh, that's great, horse and jockey. So Venus quintile Pluto, and against all odds, and Mars, his one air planet. So I go, even there, okay, that was pretty good. And then where do we see Trickster? The fantastic Staten Island Amazon union workers. Do you know this story? Chris Smalls and his fellow, right? And everything is important about this, right? Because they said, we saw how the union attempt had failed in Bessemer before, because they called in outside grown-up union organizers and there was no community connection. So we knew nothing, but we decided to do it on our own, two people. He said, we bought a table and two chairs from Walmart, and we set up the table and two chairs outside the bus stop where the morning shift got on. And we just invited them to sign, just no obligation, just it means you can vote. And he said, everybody filled up. And then they said, all right, nighttime. And he said, at nighttime, we were there at the bus stop for the night shift, and we lit bonfires. And Chris Small says, it was sacred. And they passed out cannabis, right? And I go, I love these guys. And then the next day, Chris Smalls, who'd been fired by Amazon for incredible cruelty, he was reporting on the incredible cruelty of Amazon, which is, you know, it's a dodgy thing, right? Amazon is such a luxurious evil. You know, I want this thing and I can have it in 2 hours. Anyway, so so Chris Smalls said that they went in the next day and he was handing out food to the Amazon workers and weed, too. I love these guys. And just to pause a moment, it's like they had incredible dedication. They stayed up all night. They really Saturned. They really worked. And that's what made the Trickster effective. And so Amazon had them arrested. And Chris Small says, that was great. Because that's when we won the election. It brought the whole community together. Thank you, Amazon. And Jeff Bezos, where you were out in space, we were organizing. Thank you for being out in space. So they were welcomed by Biden at the White House 2 days ago. You know, keep it up. You know, you're making good trouble. An homage to our mentor, John Lewis, right? Chris Smalls was testifying before the Senate, and there was Lindsey Graham going, oh, socialist, blah, blah, blah. And Chris Smalls just collected, said, it's not a right-left thing, it's not a political thing, it's a worker thing. And all the people behind him were like, oh, that. And he lectured Lindsey Graham, and Lindsey Graham listened and shut up. Mm. Miracles are abounding, miracles are abounding. So there's an incredible TV series that I don't recommend to everybody called Turn. And my friend Bob Goff, right before he died, he didn't know he was about to die, but he's like, watch this. And so after he died, I go, I will. it's about the American Revolutionary War. And I talked it up to somebody that I tricked myself into rewatching the whole thing. And it's quite violent. Which is why some people go, I don't want to see people being bayoneted. But it's a powerful telling of the Revolutionary War, historically accurate, on many, many, many levels. One is it was so fragile, so delicate, could have easily not happened at all. Mm. And there was enormous cruelty on all sides. You know, and it's a complex story weaving. But there is somebody we want to invite here, a Quaker named Robert Townsend. And he's a Quaker. I will not harm anyone. We're looking at the world organizing around the suffering in the Ukraine, organizing good, weapons bad. Where is the, you know, so Robert Townsend had that dilemma in the Revolutionary War, I want to harm no one. But he was lured into being a spy. He ran a bar where British generals there and he was reporting on them. But beneath the bar was a printing press and they were printing all the manuals for the British Navy. And Robert Townsend went down and just began to switch all the things, so none of the manuals agreed. So when the British Navy is out there, they're like, oh, they raised the yellow flag, but that means turn left, but no, it means turn right. And they were thrown into complete disarray. No one was harmed, but they were defeated. And we go, oh, more of that. We turn to the jazz club in Odessa. Incredible interview with the people who ran the jazz club. And they said, well, we were trying to evacuate, but we had two cats who didn't like each other and only one cat container, so we had to stay. and this was a jazz club that, you know, the jazz greats from around the world performed in Odessa. And part of me is like, Odessa, oh, you know, I could have loved living there, you know, and maybe again, who knows. But the interview was so powerful. He said, So we decided to put on a concert, and the bombs were falling quite close all around us. And we had a concert of maybe 100 people playing jazz. And I said to the people, are you afraid? No, said everybody. Do you have fear? No. So I said, creativity and expression. Tyranny wants us to not walk our dogs in the park. Mm. Tyranny wants us to not have music, but we will push against that and spiral out of the fear into when we go, whoa, that's so fabulous. Yes. So the Ukrainian spirit that we'll play with, I love that the government said, citizens, if you find Russian tanks, you need not declare them on your taxes. I hosted a really intriguing woman several weeks back, Sofia Moskalenko, who was Russian-Ukrainian. And the reason I was magnetized that she'd written an article on the difference between Ukrainian and Russian fairy tales. I'm like, and it's the basic things, because she grew up with all these stories. Ukrainian fairy tales are about the against all odds trickster who, with a befoibled team of quirky allies, pulls off the miraculous thing. And the Russian fairy tales are more the fourth stupid son, you know, meets a woman or a flounder who saves his ass, and then he punishes everybody. Anyway, so it's a little whatever, and we go, yes. That, and then they'd also written a book on QAnon. It was also kind of related, but you'll have to listen to the show to get that. So everywhere in nature, the antidote is next to the poison. And we go, all right, so Russia. The best science fiction book, dystopian science fiction book maybe ever written, is called We by Yevgeny Zamyatin. And I mentioned this to Sophia on the air, and she goes, that's amazing, because I hadn't thought about that book in years, but I was just mentioning it to my teenage sons, how important it is. And it's a book that was written in, like, I think 1918, banned in Russia, only recently published in 1988 there. In a glass-enclosed city of absolute straight lines, take that, postmodernism, ruled over by an all-powerful benefactor, the citizens of the totalitarian society of one state live out lives devoid of passion and creativity until D503, a mathematician who dreams in numbers, makes a discovery. He has an individual soul. Mm. So this is where Huxley and Orwell got most of their ideas from, and just a little smidge. Yevgeny Ivanovich Zamyatin was a naval architect by profession and a writer by nature. His favorite idea was the absolute freedom of the human personality to create, to imagine, to love, to make mistakes, and to change the world. Yes. This made him a highly inconvenient citizen of two despotisms, the Tsarist and the Communist, both of which exiled him, the first for a year, the latter forever. So it goes on. So I highly recommend this. But again, if we dive deep enough in any culture, where there's too much Mars, we go to Venus. Where is that? You know, and we're invited to see desirable, to just prime the pump of desirable imagery. You know, again, you provide the metaphors, we'll provide the matter. And we harm no one. You know, Dionne Fortune in her magic work for the British government in World War II, it's really trippy, but she's like, we harm no one, you know, but we are engaged in a couple of disciplines. One is we were dedicated to maintaining an atmosphere of tranquility in our home workspaces, because otherwise, how could we have hoped to have been a nucleus for the nation's soul? We go, now we're doing a vocabulary upgrade. Whatever we have a name for, we have a relationship, the nation's soul. You know, and she said part of our capacity, and they're saying this when the bombs are dropping, you know, was our dedication, our practices, but also our dedication to the desirable outcome story. And again, as the bombs are falling, just on right on that. So I love the... There was a meme throughout Russia, you know, 5-6 years ago, graffiti everywhere, just Putin is a mushroom. It was just written on things, Putin is a mushroom, and it's like, well, that's good. And so, you know, in that realm, you know, we go, well, what would be good, again, you know, just to arise, you know, to see Navalny emerging from prison. There's a lot of talk of coups in Russia. It would be so much better for the Russian people to resolve this not violently, in some miracle. We're just putting miracles on the table, because part of the planetary, the planets really represent qualities of intelligence that reside within each one of us and connect us to the world. And as we speak of them, they hum inside. So Saturn really is, in some ways, I think, least understood. Saturn is the power of dedication, the power of intention, taking vows. But Saturn is a part of us that's good at that, but terrible at, well, how are we going to do that? You know, and that just plunges us into depression, because Saturn's job is what, not how. Jupiter and Uranus, parts of us that connect us to the world, step in and go, we'll do how. Do common sense things as they arise, because that's magic and tells us we mean it, but not to let the compelling illusion of realism be an imaginative impediment. So we go, all right, you know, and then, you know, I've been saying to myself and, you know, others, the fate of the world requires us to insource our Saturn, you know, to insource all the planets. But because Saturn also is authority, it's the one we most tend to outsource to incompetent sociopaths, you know, or anything that makes us daunted, just even in the day. Anytime we cringe, it's like outsource Saturn. So one of the images for Saturn is it's our sturdy mountain goat. And that's where we get the phrase, somebody got our goat. And it comes from horse racing. Horses were given a companion goat that was their best friend. And bad people before a race would get a horse's goat, leaving it all frantic, right? So that's where the phrase comes from. But once we have that metaphor, we assume responsibility for getting our goat back. You know, we get kerfuffled and we go, oh, somebody got my goat. But I see my goat coming back friskier and even less obedient than before it got. There it comes back in. So So just again, as a useful thing, Saturn is what, not how, right? Because we need to do impossible things. And I was saying to, you know, Nina backstage beforehand too, you know, luck. We want luck. But there was a study at Cambridge University that kind of proved that luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. And it was a very simple experiment. You know, they told people who described themselves as lucky and unlucky in small and large ways, and they told them separately to go to a particular cafe, and on the way, they dropped money. And at the cafe, there was no lonely seating, but there was open seats at a table, and at one table, they'd put a group of funders who were going to fund anybody's project who sat there. So the self-described lucky person walks down the street, sees the $20 bill equivalent, nobody's around, picks it up, intuitively goes right to that table, jolly conversation, I just found this money, let me buy you a drink. Oh, you're funding my project, fantastic, luck. The self-described unlucky person, there was a slight supernatural element in that other people kept picking up the money, and they kept throwing it down, and just walked by, sat down. Very simple. Again, luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. So, I want to bring in now, you know, Volodymyr Zelensky. Have many people watched Servant of the People? Mm. It's so wonderful. I love it so much. It's on Netflix. It's his TV show made in 2015. And of course, I did his chart. It's the power of community and the power of team. So he has a team of people from way back, and have anybody of you seen him with his team dancing in black high heels? Anyway, it's also Dancing with the Stars. So he did many, many protean things, and against all odds, he forms his media production company and moves to Kyiv, and is wildly popular in Russia and in the Ukraine, and then they start this TV show, Servant of the People. And you probably know this, but In the TV show, he plays a history professor who goes on a giant rant against corruption in politics, right? And one of his students in the show secretly films it, and it goes viral, and he runs for president and is improbably elected. And the show is about that, and it's great. It really heads right into corruption and all kinds of things. It's a comedy, but profound and beautifully shot. And wonderful Max Dashew, whom I hosted on the radio, said, and remember, even in the opening shots, there's all the, you go right by the goddess of the Ukraine statue, you go by all of these things, you go by the sacred bread that's offered and whatever. And so, you know, when he's born, he has Jupiter, curiosity, storytelling, in Gemini, you know, multimedia, in his first house. So you tell the story, and then after the show, right, he then decides to run for president, and he's elected with his team. They run on crowdfunding and Telegram. And he makes one of his best friends the Department of Digital Transformation. And one of the things in this war, cruelty, terrible things, but the ingenuity of the IT team, you know, in the Ukraine. So in the pandemic, everybody had downloaded onto their phones this app that showed you where to get vaccines and where, all kinds of stuff. But they did just tweaking, so now everybody's got it on their phone, and it's like, where is there a bomb shelter? Where can you get food for your pet? Where can you get insulin? Right. So there's all this collective intelligence arising for community good. And he has this trusted team that's also a really crucial kind of part of the dynamic, and we go, ooh. He only has one planet in Earth. It's his Mercury at 14 degrees of Capricorn, whose image is a children's ward in a hospital. We go, sometimes these symbols are very literal. Mm-hmm. There's a profound clip of him visiting, bringing roses to a young girl who's wounded in the hospital. And she goes, oh, how wonderful, thank you. Everyone's talking about you on TikTok. And he goes, we've occupied TikTok, that's excellent. And so we love, you know, humor out of whatever, all of this, you know, as a crucial dynamic. And so we want to honor, you know, a trickster in its myriad, myriad forms. But I just want to stress with Zelensky, and, you know, We are here to spiral out of polarity so that we can all be first responders. We have plenty of first reactors, right? And the reality police would love everybody to have an opinion about something, no matter how ill-informed, within 5 seconds of hearing about it. I approve, I disapprove, I like it, I hate it, right? We go, no, nuance, complexity, you know, and again, what do we speak to? So many progressives were like, oh, well, this is outrageous, all this attention on Ukraine, and what about, you know, Afghanistan and Yemen and everything, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, no, then our intention is, may that empathy, this is the George Floyd of wars, right? Something that, a murder of George Floyd, you know, that had been happening everywhere a lot, but we saw it, and people were like, oh, now, for many, I see racism. I see it. I understand it. The war is like, oh, I see it. So rather than it's like, may this expand into compassion for all those in Afghanistan and Cameroon and Yemen and all of that, you know. And it was Noam Chomsky's Ukrainian translator, you know, who said, I love Noam Chomsky's work. My whole life has been translating him, but there are valid points, but we are people here. We are not chess pawns, you know, empathy. And so we might also say, by the power of our gathering right now, you know, may this expanded empathy expand so much that there, in the human heart, there is such a revulsion against cruelty that we compost it out of the human repertoire as a superstitious yes. blood sacrifice.
Yes.
That has been distracting us from the complexity of our assignment, which is to heal human relations with the rest of everything by ingenious collaborating. And we know we, from here in this conference, we know we have ingenious solutions to solve almost everything. It's the leadership quality. You know, the government of India came out today with a suit saying nature has rights, and the purpose of the government is as guardian. We are to redefine things. You know, what is the purpose of government? And it's such a great polarity to spiral out of polarity when people are like, blah, 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 and to go, what is your definition of good governance? Oh, don't know, just that. Again, the question takes the polarity into a spiral dynamic. So, so the Department of Digital Transformation. And then, of course, we love on Snake Island. You know, it was, I think, 7 Ukrainian people there, and a Russian warship approaches, and you can hear them talking to each other going, what should we say? What should we do? And then they just go, Russian warship, go fuck yourself, right? And, you know, and that becomes, you know, t-shirts and a meme and a stamp and everything in Ukraine, and it was that ship, the Moksha, that was sunk, right? And this is also part of the quirky dynamic. On the very day that Jupiter, bigness, and Neptune conjoined, that morning, the New York Times headline said, Neptune missile, big deal. So it was like the headlines are just writing themselves. And and the day before, Zelensky had said, here's our new postage stamps, and it was Russian warship, go fuck yourself. And it was that particular ship that went down. Now, we celebrate no one's death ever. It is a poignancy that Putin said, oh, that ship was just sunk by mistake, so anybody on that ship, it was an accident, and they don't get compensation or their families. Zelensky has been saying to the Russian people, oh mothers, do you not love your children more than you fear your government? Mm. And again, this rising up to speak to the mothers. So Ami is going to help us to bring in Trickster now in all of ourselves, this quality, you know, wherever you see it, of against all odds triumph by collaborating with ingenuity.
Whew. Yes. All right, everybody. Give everybody clap, 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 clap. Elegba, elegba, so kere kere meye. Elegba, elegba, la roye ki la moje.
So Yornis Trickster says to each one of us, You know, I am your booking agent. You know, I am willing to connect you with everything cool in the world, the coolest thing possible, inwardly and outwardly. And all I want from each one of you to seal the deal is a gesture of availability and willingness. And we go, we are available and we're willing. Let's go, we are available and we're willing. You know, and backstage goes, look at those humans. They've hoisted their sails of willingness. We're on. And we don't want to limit that. We go, well, what is the coolest thing that could possibly happen? We go, well, for starters, how about every single part of us and every single talent we have quickening and coming alive, you know, in miraculous, interesting ways. And, you know, the wonderful legba and words and language, abracadabra, is the Aramaic equivalent of the Hebrew avra, meaning I will create. Well, kadabra is the Aramaic equivalent of the Hebrew kadubar, meaning as was spoken. So abracadabra means I will create as has been spoken. So we go abracadabra.
Yes.
And one of the things I loved about dog training, because I have these highly opinionated dogs, but there's a wonderful thing in which you pick a word. This is in many cultures and many realms. You pick a word that you imbue with something. And this is a word that you pick for, like, when your dog is broken off the leash and running for the highway. It's an emergency word that you only use for emergency. So I picked abracadabra. And the way you train them is when you use this word and they come, you just shower them with bacon. Like bacon, 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 bacon. You go, abracadabra, bacon, that's fantastic. So in delving into, you know, everything, right? So I ran into a friend on a dog walk, and I was procrastinating doing my taxes. And she said, if you really want to procrastinate doing your taxes, watch the HBO miniseries Chernobyl. I'm like, that'll help you to not do your taxes. That's true. I filed an extension. So I again highly recommend. How many people have seen the HBO? It's amazing, right? So because it's one of those things that the minute it starts, it's serious. But the minute it starts, you can feel the texture that the people who made this were dedicated. And it's got this texture to it. And it's based on, it's actors, incredible actors, but based on the real thing. And one of the most crucial points is the scientist who must lie at first, you know, and then bravely tells the truth, but knows that it will cost him his life in Russia. But the crucial line is, if we don't find out how it happened, it will happen again. And so we have the exact chart, the time of Chernobyl. And Max Dashu reminds us that Chernobyl means mugwort. Mugwort is a dream plant. It's a plant sacred around the world, but especially in the Ukraine. It is used to guard borders. It is burned at the summer solstice, and the ashes are taken home to protect home. You know, and the story about Chernobyl, the mythological story, is a young girl is walking through the woods and she falls into a pit with serpents. And they keep her there all winter. And then in the spring, they form a ladder out of their bodies and she crawls up. And the queen of the serpents says, you have all this knowledge now of snake world, but the word Chernobyl is the secret word for mugwort. And if you say that word, you will forget everything that you knew, that we taught you. And so she's walking down the road and somebody says, what's that plant? She goes, Chernobyl. Oh, forgetting. This theme of forgetting and remembering. You know, in the Mary Poppins books, not the annoying movie, but in the real books, there's one of the most powerful moments is Mary Poppins, who's a shaman, really not to be messed with, and she's entrusted with the twin babies in her care. And they understand the language of the wind and the stars and everything. And she says, you know, you're going to forget. And they're like, no. And there's this incredibly powerful moment where they forget, right? And then she says, but there are ways of remembering. So this forgetting and remembering, we're in such a time, like, how do we remember our kinship? How do we remember the language of the wind and the stars and the plants? All of that. So the time of Chernobyl, you know, It's 1:23 a.m. and 58 seconds. You know, and you can see that it's a cascade of corrupt expediency leading to this incredible thing. And if you watch the series, you go, whoa, you know, I never quite understood it. And there's an incredible, the scientist gives this brilliant lecture, you know, in court where he's decided to tell the truth about the design flaw, but also about how nuclear power plants work. And it's all about balance. And he says it's really quite beautiful in some ways, but Chernobyl was the point where the Russian invasion landed first, right? So everything's resonating. And the young 30-year-old, 20-year-old, you know, Russians hadn't heard about it, right? So they invade Chernobyl. It's the most toxic place on the planet, the Red Forest. And the soldiers go, oh, we're so cold, we'll burn all this wood. And we'll drive our tanks through this highly radioactive realm. And we'll bivouac, you know, for months. And now they're all going to die. You know, this Chernobyl thing. But it is also quite precise at the moment of the explosion, highly pertinent to now, because nuclear power plants need, you know, consistent electricity, consistent cooling and water, you know, reliable grid. And so there's a lot now in Zelaya, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, is also, you know, in dire danger. And we go, ooh, it's all humming and resonating. What do we remember? But I think also charts of events that were disasters continue to kind of resonate about what is it telling us now. So at the moment of the explosion, and it is an amazing staging of like, whoa, and it could have been much, much worse. The entire Ukrainian whole European water system could have been polluted, you know, but people gave their lives. We need you miners to spend months digging a cement platform. We need three people to put on diver suits and go into this radioactive water to drain the pools. Who will volunteer? You know, it's like the scientists in Fukushima who said, we are old, we will give our lives for the greater community good. You young scientists, stay home. It's like, these qualities that rise to the occasion of dedication to collective good. But at the moment, the chart is, you know, Uranus, again, trickster ingenuity, but also is exactly rising due east. You know, and what we call sudden is an illusion. Nothing is sudden. It's happening for a long time, and then suddenly it becomes visible. The Chilean miners, a long time ago, a decade and a half maybe, who were trapped underground after a mine collapse for 6 months before they were rescued. But when they were miraculously rescued, they said, the mountain was talking to us for a long time. We knew this would happen, but no one would listen. So this was building for a long time. Chernobyl was building for a long time, the disaster or the collapse or whatever. So are you listening? I recently did an astrological reading for a young woman who was 16 and who had been born deaf. So, but on Zoom, she could read lips. She said the pandemic was particularly challenging, right? Because face masks, so she was completely cut off. But I was moved in preparation to remember, we're remembering, this incredible musician named Evelyn Glennie, who is a deaf musician. And she, I saw her perform once. She listens through her feet, right? And she is a fantastic, interesting, huge person with many percussive skills. And she said, our whole body is an ear. Our whole body is an ear. We can hear with everything, right? And she teaches people to go, it's not just our hearing, it's our entire body. We are embodied, you know, listening, and for all of us, listening. And how are we calibrated? What are we listening for? And then what are we going to be voices for on behalf of what we love? So, you know, in the chart of Chernobyl, you know, Neptune is, its degree is a mysterious degree. 10 logs lie in front of an archway leading to darker woods. It's like, ooh, the need to feel ritually prepared. And Mars's image is a person before a blazing fire dedicating their skills to collective well-being. And we go, all right, there was a blazing fire, but it was a toxic mimic. But now to us, how do each one of us sit before our hearth fire, you know, and dedicate ourselves, all of our skills? And part of the beauty of now, Saturn, dedication, in Aquarius, community. What is community? It's right next to the little asteroid Vesta, and my friend Sylvie always says, where Vesta is where we are divested of orthodoxy, denied, delayed the usual expression of this realm until the dedication to keep the community hearth flame alive is deepened, and then we may proceed. So to take that for everybody, you know, we are divested of orthodoxy, you know, denied, delayed the usual expression of that realm until our dedication to keeping the community hearth flame alive is deepened, which is why we've all gathered here right now. So to go back to the crucial in the series, unless we find out how this happened, it will happen again about everything, right? About January 6th insurrection, about everything. And so, you know, we are here in humility to lay out what we need, and then through Ami to call it in. You know, again, backstage gods are eager to help. So what a good idea to call in accountability. It's the sine qua non of democracy, you know, accountability. So
can you tell them about Kulu Kulu? Because this is part of the accountability.
Kulu Kulu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, many of you may know, who've been hanging with me a little bit, you know, our word cool, popularized by jazz musicians in the 40s, is a Yoruba word, Kulu Kulu, and it meant completely responsible. The cool guy was the guy who took care of the community. The cool drummer was just the drummer, the divine, you know.
You could count on him. You can count on him. Yeah.
That's right. And in Yoruba, as in English, it means cool like temperature. So the Yoruba said, language is magic. To literally, even right now, to imagine our heads as cool and our hearts as warm, right? To move all the heat in the head down to the heart. It's the opposite of road rage, right? It's cool head, warm heart, as opposed to hot head, cold heart, right? So cool head, warm heart allows us to enter into hot situations as agents of cool out rather than caught up in the reactivity. Now, and they also said, you know, in regard to space out, if we imagine our heads as cool, it allows for enhanced superconductivity of multiple ideas at once without frying our circuits. Right? So there you go.
And so the Orisha for cool head is Obatala, who is also Oludumare, and it talks about how you wear all white to keep your head cool, to keep your body cool, to have that kind of pure headspace. And so we think about that when we sing, Baba Fururu Ere Oro Oba Kanye Eligible Ileifa Batibasa Wo Eribo Ere Batiba Wo Enuaye Yawaloro E Yawaloro Elesioka.
Accountability be a good thing, because we've outsourced Saturn to delusional crackpots who are running for attorney generals in states across the realm. And we go, all right, Putin, Alexander Dugin. So I every now and then have kind of QAnon stalkers that I keep as training, you know, going, all right, can we find some common thing, you know? And so, and I keep relating until it gets too venomous, and then I go, that's enough. And they're like, you're canceling us. It's like, no, you're obnoxious, and I'm calling it quit. But I learn a lot. And they go, you know, you'll watch Alexander Dugin. You might find resonance with him. I'm like, I will. Okay. Alexander Dugin is Bannon's, you know, kind of guru, Putin's guru. And then it helped me to have a colleague kind of decode it. So Alexander Dugin speaks about the soul of Russia and the hegemony and tyranny of the West as all material, and we have the spiritual thing. And my friend says, Dugin is toxic, but so much of the progressive left has abandoned the mythological spiritual conversation that it's left it by default to the Dementors of Doom. And we go, right, right, until now. So remember the crucial words. The word illusion comes from in ludo, which means in the game. And the word delusion comes from de ludo, which means out of the game. So illusion in ludo means, you know, Neptune dreams are our responsibility for participating in dreaming the desirable world into being. You know, shape-shifting, and delusion, you know, out of the game. So, yeah, we have, you know, there is danger. There is delusional crackpots. But what is it? It's the hunger for the toxic mimic. We go, the con creates cults. The authentic within all of us creates community, right? So there's the toxic mimic and the real thing. And we go, so, yeah, and that's why we have, you know, the... the poison humans poisoning our species, and so poisoning all species. So always turning to nature. You know, we go, what in our human collectivity has been receptive to the delusion virus of so many of our fellow citizens? We go, dogma. Anytime we've outsourced our Saturn that we believe something that we haven't earned, we're open to the delusion virus of compensatory condescension. You know, so I go, well, remember that badgers and possums, honey badgers and possums, are immune to cobra venom. And cobra venom is a marvel of symmetry like the virus. It locks right into mammalian breathing. And so honey badgers and possums have evolved to shapeshift so that their receptors no longer, the venom no longer fits their receptors. And I go, oh, this is a great idea. Let us meet backstage, because you can't talk somebody out of a cult. I have some experience with that realm. But I think in the realm of backstage experimentation, we can imagine to shapeshift the receptors of this country, right, so that the tyranny virus no longer fits. You know, so it is no longer in the repertoire of humanity. People go, wait a minute, where's tyranny? I know I put it somewhere. It doesn't exist anymore. You know, to block the poison. And there's all those things. And, you know, Rachel Maddow did an incredible thing about, you know, who we're outsourcing Saturn to. And they go, you know, a man in Indiana was in prison for being accused of killing his wife, and he won the GOP primary anyway. And we go, no, truly, you know, the devolution of our rogue species is present in here, you know, thugs and all. And we go, right. And so, you know, the power of atmosphere, so right at the beginning of the pandemic, I was on an internet radio show, and the two other guests were quite wonderful. It was the police chief of Atlanta and his quite wonderful counseling wife. And at the end, you know, I said to him, are you worried? At the time, it was, you know, Trump was about to visit, the wonderful place where in Oklahoma, Space Out. Well, anyway, he was about to visit a city and an important city.
Everyone's shouting Tulsa. Is it Tulsa?
Yes, thank you.
Outsourcing.
He was about to visit Tulsa, and I asked the police chief of Atlanta, are you worried? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, me and my trickster council, we meet on Monday, we're creating an atmosphere of lavender and magic mushroom psilocybe to waft over Tulsa, that anything up to no good fizzle like a wet firecracker fart. And the police chief of Atlanta said, I'll join in that. Right? So we all imagined wafting psilocybe lavender mist over Tulsa so that anything up to no good would fizzle like a wet firecracker fart. And it did. It did. So atmosphere, it's to create, to conjure the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. It's part of our skills, right? You know, and so we want to go kind of deeper into the underworld and to speak briefly about abortion, right? I love my friend Steve Behrman saying they're against abortion except at the 103rd trimester, right? Irish scholars have said, you know, St. Bridget, you know, in the year 610, was renowned for giving an abortion. Like, of course, the most revered Catholic saint, right? And it's like, we see your Bridget and raise you a Hildegard von Bingen, who also, you know, performed abortions as a, you know, and in my own thinking about it, I go, you know, for me, abortion is a religious issue. Right? It's so sacred, you know, this is a religious issue. And George Carlin was, you know, again, really tough at speaking about abortion years ago, going, oh, it's because they hate women. They want live babies to be dead soldiers, right, in a George Carlin way. And we go, right. So everything into the cauldron, you know, autonomy ladled out as part of our assignment. You know, and we all get to put our Saturn criterion as everything goes into the Plutonian cauldron now. It's only good for everything to be, you know, in the cauldron, all teachings, everything. And then we put our criterion for what we ladle out. Does it guide people to their own autonomy? Is it equal Mars and Venus? You know, can the truth be said without cringing? You know, is liberating trickster cultural hijinks welcome? We ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. We go, ah. So, yeah, and, you know, and just it's all, the gods are trying to make it very simple for us. Alito, who's also called Scalito, is citing, you know, in his, you know, anti-abortion thing, 17th century witch-burning misogynist crank. And we go, oh, it's so literal now. God, you know, so, you know, our dedication. So trickster, which we're really calling in for all of us, makes miracles possible. And I turn to one of our great allies in fiction, Granny Weatherwax, in Terry Pratchett's fabulous novels. And Granny Weatherwax is going to do something on behalf of the community that is dangerous, you know, and against all odds. And people say, you can't do that. 1,000,000 to 1 chances against you. And it said that Granny Weatherwax smiled in a way that would make wolves whimper and said, 1,000,000 to 1 chances crop up 9 times out of 10 when your heart is dedicated, so buzz off, right? And then she does the fabulous thing. So we want to briefly, before we deconvene, go to a deep, deep place. You know, we're packing our pipe, right? Tell us about this, and tell us about Keith.
Yes, two things. The first one is, we are at the Palace of Fine Arts, and right before COVID hit and this war happened, I was in Kiev, and I sang at the Palace of Fine Arts, and I cried in the Ukraine because when I heard that it was the first place that got bombed, it was like, wow, we're here full circle in a place that holds beautiful, conscious artists, magicians, very cool people. And so, you know, it's so personal and so real. And I remember singing Carol of the Bells, which was written by a Ukrainian composer, there in that place. And so here, and calling in the deepness and the remembrance of all those things that were there and are there now in spirit is really powerful. And so I sing for the Lakota Women's Singing Lodge and for Sundance. And so before every sweat, we pack the pipe and we sing the song where everybody packs in a bit of tobacco and they sing the song, and so then becomes a communal prayer, a communal sharing of the pipe. Kola leche, leche uyu. Kola leche, leche uyu. Kola leche. Let you, hi, chanunke, mikta kuye, oh, etalo, hi, kola leche, leche uyu. Kola leche, leche uyu. Kola leche, leche uyu. Ai, chanunke, mikta kuye, oh, etalo. Ai.
Yes. So we're forming each person forming in hearts our primary dedication, to be filled with trickster and blessing and support. And just to repeat again today, Indian court government rules, nature has legal status, and humans are required to protect it. Headline. Go right. We're coming up from the underworld, and a great friend,
hello, Bill,
loaned me this book a while ago by Alan First. It's called The Polish Officer, and it's about World War II, espionage intrigue, and I let it sit there for a while, and then I picked it up recently and go, oh, it is so powerful. It's about, Poland and World War II, Poland and France in World War II, and it's so resonant now. It's so equal, and just something that, as we're navigating dark underworld, there is a moment where the man who is bravely, on behalf of collective good, going to be in the resistance in Poland, a daunting thing, invaded by Germany and Russia. And there comes a moment where he's clandestine. He goes, clandestine is always temporary, right? We're shape-shifting. We have our shape-shifting adoptive skills that are necessary. But because of the curfew, he went doorway to doorway, alert for the sound of German patrol callers. It could be done, anything could be done, but you had to think it through, you had to concentrate. A life lived in flight from the police, a life of evasion, had the same given as always. It hadn't changed in centuries. They could make 1,000 mistakes, you couldn't make one. Once upon a time, only criminals figured that out. By November of 1939, every man, woman, and child in Poland knew it, going, Dementors can make 1,000 mistakes, we are dedicated, again, deliberate, invoking, collaborating with what we love. So many powerful things. But I haven't gotten, it's like the series turn, the Revolutionary War. It was so, it could have not happened. And this novel is amazing. It says, there's the Nazi invasion of Paris and France. And everyone thinks that they will conquer Britain, right? But they didn't know about Dion Fortune. But it was dodgy, and I haven't finished the book, so I don't know how World War II turns out. But it was very close. And Jornis chimes into us and says, "We don't care what you do as much as the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and ingenuity rather than fear." Now we're back to the Odessa Jazz Club. And I remember after Katrina, I hosted a wonderful man from New Orleans who had the museum of feathers and festivals and carnivals. And he said people were berating him, going, people need water. And he goes, no, this is the soul of the community. And talking to a lot of NGOs, they go, well, it is. We can't deliver aid until there's a coherent community, and art creates the coherent community. It's the sine qua non. And one of the Bioneers presenters used to give his lecture saying, the ship crossing the ocean, who's in charge? People go, the captain. He goes, nope, the designer. And all of the issues we're facing are design issues. So this is a time when Venus, design, beauty, art, moves back into leadership. That's part of our dynamic. So we want to tricksterize our intrigue, to bring trickster into all the positive intrigue, to spiral out, to have amazing things happen. Again, we are willing and we are available. And so Ami will lead us in Wade in the Water and Yamaya to tricksterize our intrigue as our kind of deconvening. And remember, feel free to feel permission to undulate. Wilhelm Reich said that tight fascia leads to fascism. So every time we undulate, we are sucking chi out of the reality police. Yes. So we are. There are invisible party favors beneath your chair that you can take home with you. They're invisible, but they're real. Each person has a bag of liberating lightning to toss at any circle, to turn it into a spiral, to toss at any befoiblement of self and others. May our manner of relating be running on the fuel of, may it be liberating, to liberate the entire circumstance. The trickster folk hero is interested in liberating the entire thing. All right, Ami.
Yes. All right, I think you all should undulate while you stand and dance and stare and dance. Wait in the The God is gonna trouble the water. Come on, y'all, sing with me. Wait in the water, yeah. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. The God is gonna trouble the water. Everybody, howl! I said, wait in the water, yeah. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. The goddess is gonna trouble the water. The spirits are gonna juggle the water.
Woof, woof. Thank you for doing this good work. Go, go forth and be woofy. Woof.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th. Thank you, darling.